Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the Tom Farinella Show. If you want to give us a call, the number is 347-326-9037. 347-326-9037. Well, hello and welcome. I am Tom Farinella, that's right, and this is the most intriguing broadcast in America. You can give us a call. 347-326-9037. Email me, tom@tafttalk.com, if you have a comment as well. Real right off the bat, today is an extraordinary day for so many reasons. If you live in New York, you are no stranger, I'm sure, at this point in time to the story that has exploded and caused tremendous chaos for the now governor, Eliot Spitzer. The governor of the state of New York today was, or will be, or is at this point at least, mentioned in a criminal indictment filed in the Southern District of New York Federal Criminal Court. I'm going to break it all down for you and let you tell you what that means, what those implications are, and what his political future is or isn't. Now, the one thing about it is I am a lawyer. I'm a criminal lawyer in particular, and I've also handled cases in the forum in which the governor is now involved in, which is the criminal court, federal criminal court, and the, let's just see here, I'm just trying to see, yes, he was caught on a federal wiretap, and he has major problems at this point. And, you know, this is a guy who prided himself on putting down people on a regular basis, whether it be going after Wall Street executives who are involved in white-collar crimes, or anyone else who's involved in some large-scale criminal ring, in particular a prostitution ring. I think he took down two big prostitution rings. And, you know, this is a guy who went to New York, and as governor, he was going to clean up the state of New York, and because he claimed it was in political disarray. And now we sit back and we look at what's going on here, and it's almost laughable, because yet another politician who has promised to clean up the system, to clean up the dirty politics that the system is involved in, and here he is, right there with the people that he's often accused. Apparently, he went down to the Mayflower Hotel and met with a madam. You know what I find most interesting is they're referring to him as a John on the news reports. He is a John, and that's what's intriguing. He certainly is a John, I guess. He's an Eliot, but an Eliot John. Nevertheless, so the governor has thrown himself under the bus. Yeah, he's thrown himself right under the bus. And what does that mean? Well, you know, I have a sneaking suspicion, and you heard it here first, I have a sneaking suspicion that he is not going to resign. I think that he's very arrogant, and he's very, very pious, obviously, but he is very, he reminds me so much of the 42nd President of the United States, William Jefferson Blythe Clinton. That's right, William Jefferson Clinton ignored the fact that he was under federal indictment, and he basically brought the American people through hell because he wanted to maintain his, you know, his position in the Oval Office, and he did. Now, did it cost him, to some extent, it cost him very much. But I don't think he cares. I don't think he cares about the view that the world will have with of the situation. I don't. I think he's very callous to that, and I don't think that it matters to him. So basically, let's see here. Despite copyright laws, I am allowed to read public documents. So the criminal indictment is, in fact, a public document. On February 11th of 2008, at approximately 10:53 p.m., Tamika Rachelle Lewis, also known as Rachelle, the defendant, using the 6587 number, sent a text message to Cecil Suwal, also known as Katie, also known as Kate, the defendant at the 3390 number. In the text message, Lewis wrote, "Please let me know if client 9, that's Governor Spitzer, package arrives tomorrow. Appointment WDB on Wednesday." I don't know what that means. If somebody can translate text messages, then I am familiar with text messages, but not of that's a very, what's W, will, who knows, but appointment with WB, appointment WDB on Wednesday, call 3728C. I guess that's a reference number for the wiretapping that the government was keeping. Suwal sent a text message back to Lewis stating K. Then on February 12th, 2008, at approximately 2:37 p.m., Tamika Rachelle Lewis, also known as Rachelle, the defendant, using the 6587 number. All right, how do you decipher all this stuff? Hold on. Called a prostitute. I believe Lewis might very, I don't know, if, is that his name? Okay. A prostitute who the Emperor's Club marketed, using the name Kristen. During the call, Lewis left a message working for Kristen that the deposit had not arrived today, but that they should be able to do the trip if the deposit arrives tomorrow. At approximately 4:03 p.m., Lewis received a call from Kristen. During the call, Kristen said that she heard the message and that was fine. Lewis and Kristen then discussed the time it would take to travel from New York to Washington. Lewis told Kristen that there was a 5:39 p.m. train that arrived at 9 o'clock. So they're recounting basically what happened. Let's just see here. Blah, 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 blah. There we go. At approximately 8:12 p.m., Tamika Rachelle Lewis, also known as Rachelle, the defendant using that 6587 number, play those numbers tonight, 6587. If you just tuned in, this is the Tom Farinella Radio Show. TaffTalk.com is the website. We're live here on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio, the number 3479 326 9037, if you want to give us a call. The number 347-326-9037. We're on for a very brief half hour. I felt I had to jump on the Blog talk radio network and talk about this. I am a lawyer. We're reading the criminal complaint that mentions Governor Spitzer, although not by name. He's referred to as client number 9. Let's continue. So about 8:12, she received a call from client 9. During the call, Lewis told client 9 that the package did not arrive yet. And Lewis asked client 9 if there was a return address on the envelope, and client 9 said no. Lewis asked, "You had QAT. I don't know what that means." And client 9 said, "Yep." Hold on, we're getting some feedback here. Of course, do not have your handheld devices while you're doing Blog Talk Radio, because that ridiculous GPS goes crazy, whatever it is. "You had QAT," and client 9 said, "Yes, yep, some as in the past, no question about it." I don't know what that means. Lewis asked client 9 what time he was interested in having the appointment tomorrow. Client 9 told him 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Lewis told client 9 to call it back in 5 minutes. 8:14, Tamika Rochelle Lewis. It says, approximately 8:14 p.m., Tamika Rochelle Lewis, also known as Rochelle, the defendant, using the name, called Mark Brenner, Michael, the defendant. I don't know. It's all getting confusing. Hold on 1 second. Tell the officer here. I don't know. Anyway, it's all confusing. But nevertheless, this criminal indictment is extremely in-depth. I've seen my fair share of federal criminal complaint, not indictment, complaint. And this is very, very descriptive. It's very in-depth, and I just can't believe that the governor of the great state of New York allowed himself to be so vulnerable and subjected himself to this kind of scrutiny. I mean, this is insane. So what does this all mean for him? Well, legally, from a legal standpoint, generally what happens is in federal criminal cases, they file a criminal complaint, and which is basically the charging document. It's the same as if you were charged with a crime in the state of New York. Depending upon a misdemeanor or felony, in the state of New York, an indictment must follow thereafter. If it's a misdemeanor, there's no indictment required. If there is a felony, you have to be indicted. However, in the federal criminal court, what happens is once the criminal complaint is filed by the United States Attorney in the particular district in which they reside, in this case it's the Eastern District of New York, Southern. I believe it's the Southern. I don't have the case caption. I believe it's the Southern District of New York. Everything's just happening so fast. But I believe it's the Southern District of New York. And what happens is they write the criminal complaint, they charge the person, and then there's an indictment that will follow. So he has not been indicted yet by the United States Attorney's Office, but they will be moving probably relatively quick, depending upon whether or not he cooperates and if they're willing to offer him a deal. Now, so from a criminal standpoint, it could very well be that he could fully cooperate in the government, give him credit for that cooperation, and not charge him with, not proceed to indict him. I don't know if that's likely to happen. Being he's a high-profile guy, it might look like favoritism. It might not look good. But in the event that he's not indicted, does he still maintain his ability to be an effective governor? And I just don't know. I think that once you end up in a scenario like this, I think your credibility as a politician, especially as a tough-talking, really white, truthful pursuer of the truth, I should say, and truth and justice, I think it's very difficult from a credibility standpoint that he would be able to survive. There's been polls on local news stations showing 8 out of 10 New Yorkers think he should get out. I think that that's probably a fair assessment. I think that although Bill Clinton survived, he was impeached by the United States Congress, and I think as a result of his escapades it did hamper his ability to be an effective president because the people's work really wasn't being done despite what he was saying. In this case, you have a guy. My prediction is that I think he's bold enough to say that he's not going to resign because he came out today and said it was a private matter. Well, it is a private matter, but he's a public official. He's a public official involved in criminal activity. So that's the issue he has to deal with. It's a private matter, but it becomes a very public matter once you're charged with a crime, even mentioned in a criminal complaint. Now, whether or not he's indicted, I don't know. But I think he's trying to set himself up to remain in power because he is that type of person. He's a very high, pious, arrogant person. He thinks he's better than everybody else, and he thinks that he can do no wrong. And I think he will continue to try to maintain his position as governor of the state of New York. Now, the only way he won't is if the big Democrat of the state, which is Sheldon Silver, comes out and calls for his resignation. So if he tries to stay in office, he's going to need the support of New York's highest-ranking Democrat in the state House, which is Mr. Silver. So there's more to come with that. I mean, you know, there's more and more breaking. What else can be said? I mean, if you have an opinion or if you think that Governor Spitzer should stay in office, give us a call, 347-326-9037. That's 347-326-9037. This is the Tom Farinella radio program. TaffTalk.com is the website. Tom@TaffTalk.com is the email. And this is the most intriguing broadcast in America where we bring the greatest topics, and I put my unique spin on it. Now, from a legal analysis, you know, I don't know. I think that he's damaged politically, and I think that he has more, you know, in his statement, he basically said that this is a private matter, and that with his family. But he has to mend fences with his family, and you know I don't necessarily think that's the case. Mend fences with his family. I think he owes America. I'm sorry, his constituents, which is the great citizens of the state of New York, an apology. And I think he has an obligation to them as well.
Today, I want to briefly address a private matter. I have acted in a way that violates my obligations to my family and that violates my or any sense of right and wrong. I apologize first and most importantly to my family. I apologize to the public, whom I promised better. I do not believe that politics in the long run is about individuals. It is about ideas, the public good, and doing what is best for the state of New York. But I have disappointed and failed to live up to the standard I expected of myself. I must now dedicate some time to regain the trust of my family. I will not be taking questions. Thank you very much. I will report back to you in short order. Thank you very much.
Today, I want to
briefly address a private matter. I have acted in a way that violates my obligations to my family and that violates my or any sense of right and wrong. I apologize first and most importantly, to my family. I apologize to the public, whom I promised better. I do not believe that politics in the long run is about individuals. It is about ideas, the public good, and doing what is best for the state of New York. But I have disappointed and failed to live up to the standard I expected of myself. I must now dedicate some time to regain the trust of my family. I will not be taking questions. Thank you very much. I will report back to you in short order. Thank you very much.
So there you go. I just don't see it. It did not seem conciliatory to the point where this was life-changing. It seemed very, very, very dry, as usual. But that's Spitzer for you. He's a very dry, arrogant, self-absorbed kind of guy. And I think that I think he doesn't have an interest. His only interest is himself, obviously. Because anybody who cares for their any elected official who cares about the constituency, in light of this blockbuster development, would step aside right away, because he is on the public payroll, and he is virtually ineffective. Okay, he is not effective at all, and he can't be effective because he's under such public scrutiny. And who knows when this public scrutiny and legal scrutiny and all the other things that are going on will be resolved. It doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. All my experience in the federal criminal courts have been long-term. It's not an in-and-out sort of situation. And that's what he's faced with. So I think this guy has lots of problems. But my overall prediction, you heard it here first, is I don't think he's going to resign. I think he's going to be forced into resignation. After all, he's got this whole trooper gate going on. If you want to give us a call real quick, we have a couple minutes left, 347-326-9037, and we can talk to you about what you think the governor should or shouldn't do. Real quick, Obama won Wyoming. Was it Wyoming? Yeah, Dick Cheney's home state on Saturday, and it looks as if, you know, the Clinton machine is trying to drum up this dream team ticket of Hillary Obama, because they're desperate. I think it's another cry for desperation. I think Hillary is on the ropes, and if Obama, you know, tactfully positions himself and does the things that he needs to do, he can knock her out. But it's a big tall order for a guy who has no political experience. And I'm sorry to say, he has no political experience. By the way, his name is Barack Hussein Obama, unlike Hillary Rodham Clinton. By the way, speaking of names, what happened to the First Lady's hyphenated maiden name? Remember, it was Hillary Rodham Clinton. She dropped that right away because she knew she was running for president, and she wanted that Clinton name to be there just by itself. I don't know if that's a plus or a minus. I would have kept the Rodham. But there was some controversy this week in the Obama camp, because one of his lead campaign managers called him a monster. I'm sorry, called Hillary a monster. We don't have any cough buttons on the show, so you hear real live. You hear what's happening when it's happening. And so you know, the Obama camp is sort of a mess right now. And what can you do? Nevertheless, the reality is this campaign is down to the nitty gritty. And with that being said, you know, Hillary has very little left. She has very little time left, rather, to do something. And Obama just needs to maintain. And there are people out there who don't understand. They think I support Obama. I have no support for any of them. I don't support McCain. I don't support Obama. And I don't support Clinton. I am not interested in any of them. None of them do anything for me. None of them inspire me. And none of them have the real, I think, experience to do what it takes to be president. Now, I think McCain may have the most experience in terms of being an elected official, because he's the oldest of the three, and he's served public office a heck of a lot longer, but I don't know what that means. Real quick before we go, I am going to just paraphrase something I read. A stout female dwarf whose name is Shorty was busted, in Brooklyn for pimping out an underage runaway to upscale clients she found over the internet. So this little mini madam, Jacqueline Green, who's 26, is 3'9". She weighs 145 pounds, and she's accused of using her Brooklyn apartment for a sex pet, for a high price. Who paid it for John's? I wonder. Governor goes to the Emperor's Club. By the way, Governor Spitzer paid $4,300 for that woman. One night. Or 1 hour, I think. I mean, that is an astounding return. $4,300 for an hour's worth of work. Whoa. Nevertheless, the sex pad for John, they paid a high price for the teen services. They were advertised on Craigslist. These people are just too funny. So the Johns were mostly white men from Manhattan and Long Island. It could have been, Elliot. You never know. If you had a tough month, they were charged $2.50 per half hour for intercourse and $100 per half hour for oral sex. Their identities weren't released. Green, she's 26, spent a month pimping out a 15-year-old runaway who had fled a troubled home just two blocks away. This is good. Nevertheless, cops found the girl Wednesday at a Throop Avenue building where her parents suspected she had been hiding out. After being grilled by the cops from the 81st Precinct, she admitted that she had acted as a prostitute for the vertically challenged madam many times. So Green pleaded not guilty at a Thursday arraignment to felony charge of promoting prostitution. She's being held in $10,000 bail. The teenager was returned to her family, and so on and so forth. That's that. So Shorty knows everyone. Said a 35-year-old man who gave his name as Percy. She was always out hustling. No kidding. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, whoa. I mean, Shorty. I love it. Now, here's one person I love. Kathy Lee Gifford may be coming back to television. That's right. She coined the phrase, hello, everybody. No, that's Regis. why is Sanjaya performing at the pub? Sanjaya performs Bat Mitzvah. Huh. Great. Well, I Bat Mitzvah, which is for girls. So I guess the little girls like him. Not like that, but the girls, I think, were always his fans. They always had a thing for him. Kathy Lee's a tremendous talent, but we have nothing to announce. So NBC spokesman said, since leaving live, so it's not official yet, but it's rumored that she's coming back to television. And what if she does come back to television? I think it would be absolutely superb. But that's that. Well, I this has been a very brief program. Let's listen real quick to the governor's apology one more time. Do we have it? Hurry up, we're running out of time here on the Tom Farrell Show. Yes, production is as good as ever, right? Hold on. Oh, my heavens. We are running out of time. That is just too much. All right, we're running out of time, and I can't believe that we can't get this together. Where is the governor? Give me the governor, or give me death.
Today, I want to briefly address a private matter. I have acted in a way that violates my obligations to my family and that violates my or any sense of right and wrong. I apologize first and most importantly to my family. I apologize to the public, whom I promised better. I do not believe that politics in the long run is about individuals. It is about ideas, the public good, and doing what is best for the state of New York. But I have disappointed and failed to live up to the standard I expected of myself. I must now dedicate some time to regain the trust of my family. I will not be taking questions. Thank you very much. I will report back to you in short order. Thank you very much.
And now, Tom Farinella.
Okay, everybody, taptalk.com. Thank you very much for giving us a listen today. You can give me an email, Tom, at taptalk.com. This is blogtalkradio.com. And I couldn't be happy to be here, to be on the air to give you my profound legal insight, intuition, and commentary You ever hear in England commentary? Yeah.
The show is on, but not streaming.